pro football opens tonight. We all love the NFL. The NFL is America's pastime now. Football, really, America's pastime, but the NFL especially. 32 teams, and it opens tonight with the defending champions hosting the Kansas City Chiefs in Foxborough. A lot of guys with local ties, Alex Smith, Dan Sorensen, Eric Rowe, Kyle Van Noy, Harvey Longy will be all be there. I don't know if our next guest will be there, but he's covered his fair share of openers, and he's been around the NFL for a long time. Clark Judge with us from the Talk of Fame Network. How are you, Clark?
I'm good, Bill. I won't be there, but I am in New England, very close to Massachusetts, but not quite there in Foxborough.
How many years with the NFL, covering the NFL for you now?
I think it's 35. I think it's 35, actually. Yeah, that's kind of scary.
You know, it's been a long time when you've lost count, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 35. In fact, I know it's 35, so I was just kind of edging. But, I don't get the benefit of the doubt there.
Last year we were dealing with suspensions and Deflategate with a wildly popular player in Tom Brady. This year we're dealing with a suspension of a wildly popular young player for two very different accusations and offenses. The Brady thing is gone, though fans in New England won't ever forget. What do you make of the Ezekiel Elliott situation from the outside looking in, and were you surprised the NFL upheld that at six games?
I was surprised he upheld it, but to me, either he did it or he didn't. It's very clear-cut. If he did, then it's six games. If he didn't, then it's no games. And they are apparently convinced he did. And I know there's been a lot written and said to the contrary, but I'm not involved in those negotiations. I'm not involved in listening to what people say behind the scenes or what somebody has discovered in an investigation. Keep in mind that the NFL has its own investigating arm. Now, I was not on board with what happened with the Tom Brady situation. I thought that was a joke. I thought that was a joke, and also giving him four games, the same amount of suspensions you gave Greg Hardy. I didn't get that at all. When he had a reasonable awareness, quote-unquote reasonable awareness of some air coming out of football, this is far more serious. This is far more serious. The NFL is trying to make a point of drawing a line with domestic violence. And in this situation, they're convinced that an incident took place, and they're trying to make it very clear to any of the players and the fans in and around the sport that they're very serious about penalizing players who are guilty of this. And in their mind, he was guilty, so he's going to be penalized. He's going to sit down six games.
It's always an interesting thing for me, Clark, because, you know, Roger Goodell is the guy that's out front, and he takes all the bullets and the arrows for everybody. And the Players Association rises up against Roger Goodell. But correct me if I'm wrong, and I have to guess DeMaurice Smith knows this too, Roger Goodell doesn't act on his own. He acts at the behest of ownership, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, he's essentially he is supposed to be the servant of the owners, but he's more than that, obviously. But the thing that he always comes up and that people don't really understand is that they say, well, how can he be the judge, jury, and executioner? You know, how is that possible? And I've heard players say the same thing. This is unfair. Yeah, it is. It's unfair. Guess what? You gave him that power. He gave him that power in the 2011 CBA. They signed that agreement. No one put a gun to their head. They signed that agreement. Yeah, there are people behind the scenes. My wife used to work in the league office years ago. I know many of those people. It's just very bright people. There have been a lot of people been at it since then. But it's not one guy making that decision. It's far, far more people involved. And since the Ray Rice situation, they've involved a lot more women, especially in situations like this, to get a female's point of view and to try to get a sort of fair and balanced situation where they come down with a penalty or a decision that they do think is equitable for all sides. And in this situation, as I said, I looked at this and I don't know who's telling the truth or if there are parts of the truth that are coming out, but I do know that when it was said and done, Harold Henderson, who was the guy, remember, who cut the suspension from Greg Hardy from 10 to 4 games, I realized he worked in the NFL. Worked at management council. I understand that. So people are saying, well, this is unfair. He's biased. He cut the Greg Hardy situation from 10 to 4 games, which I didn't get at all because the Greg Hardy situation, all it was missing was the video. It's a much more, to me, heinous case than the Ray Rice. But he's the one that ruled here. He's the arbitrator. He said, you know what, six games? We're upholding it. So there must be something there that we're missing.
Onto the football side of things for just a minute. Everybody seems to be on board the New England train. They lose Edelman. Doesn't seem to matter. People pick them as the definitive favorite. Nitpick for me the Patriots from a football standpoint. You know, Brady's older. I mean, and we know Brady's older too, but right. Nitpick from a football standpoint why the Patriots might not win this year in the AFC.
Why they might not is exactly what you said, that Brady's older. He turns 40. 40-year-old quarterbacks who are at the top of their game are very few and far between. The last one I can think of was Brett Favre when he was with the Vikings, and he had that 1 year where he took them to the conference championship game. They probably were the best team in football that year. And you remember they got he literally got destroyed by the Saints. They would go into overtime and lost that game, but he had one of the great years of his career. And then he fell off the cliff the next year and he was gone. But Tom Brady's coming off a sensational season, which I thought was aided in part, honestly, by that suspension. He didn't have to play four games. That helps a 39-year-old. Plus, I think he had something to prove to Roger Goodell and a skeptical public as well. And he did. I mean, he proved it. He lapped the field, circled the bases, 28 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. To me, he was the MVP last year. I think you can vote him for the MVP almost every year because he's not playing with great players, but he makes them greater. But why you could nitpick, you start there. And then the pass rush. You know, they were supposed to get a pass rusher in Kony Ealy, and that was a great pickup. Gave up second-round draft pick for him. They cut him. I mean, they cut him. He didn't fit in with them. But, whoa, what a big mistake. Now, who's going to rush from the outside? That's an issue. Rob Ninkovich retired. So I don't know where the pass rusher is on the outside. Remember, they got rid of Chandler Jones. They don't have a great pass rusher on the outside. That could cripple him because great pass rushers beat great defenses. We've seen that with the Giants versus Brady twice. We saw it with Seattle versus Peyton Manning when the Broncos put up more passing touchdowns, more points than anyone in the league. I think that is a concern. They're going to have to squeeze other teams to quarterbacks, and they had trouble doing it last year, but they survived, and they survived because Brady was sensational. If Brady slips a little bit, can you continue to live with that? It's going to be tough. That's an area of concern. The backside, the secondary, they're stronger than ever. The linebackers, stronger than ever. They added David Harris to a already strong lineup. They kept Dante Hightower when nobody thought they could. But that front four, you've got to, or front three, depending on which front you're going with, they've got to get more pressure from the outside than they have in the past.
Clark Judge is our guest from the Talk of Fame Network. Long time. He thinks 35 years. Maybe it's 36. Maybe it's 34. But he's been around the NFL for a long time. If it's not New England and the AFC, it's who?
Probably, I'm saying Pittsburgh. I would say Pittsburgh. If they can keep those three guys healthy, I'm talking about Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and Ben Roethlisberger. It's rare that all three of them are on the field at the same time, but when they are, they put up a lot of points. Their defense has got to be better, too. When you look at that game against, that playoff game against New England last year, go, what hurt these guys? They couldn't make a stop. They couldn't make a stop. Brady went up and down the field on them. And they were in a zone so much of the time, and they said later that, well, that hurt us. Well, let me tell you, you didn't know that going into the game. Brady will pick you apart, and he did. So they've got to be better on that side of the ball. But to me, the key is keeping those guys on the field. They've got three tremendous playmakers, but I think it starts with Roethlisberger. You've got to keep him on the field. He's going to get hurt at some point. You find each year he's missing 1, 2, 3 games, something like that. You can survive 1, 2, 3 games. You can't survive a prolonged period, 6, 7, something like that. I think Pittsburgh, Oakland's a team to watch.
Yeah.
And to me, the dark horse is Tennessee. I think Tennessee is ready for takeoff. In that division, I like them a lot. And they're good defensively. They should be better offensively. What Marcus Mariota is going to look like coming off of that injury last year, I don't know, but he looked awfully good last year before he did get hurt.
Yeah, Oakland to me looks really dangerous, and as a Chiefs fan, that hurts me to say. But I'm with you on Tennessee. I'm not sure if Tennessee's ready to take off and win the AFC, but I do like them in that division an awful lot. Over to the NFC, why does everybody seem so down on Atlanta?
Because they were in the Super Bowl last year and lost. That's why. I mean, Super Bowl losers don't go back. They just don't go back. The last one to go back was the Bills. That was 93. In any case, they just, Super Bowl losers just don't repeat. Whatever it is, there's a Super Bowl curse, hangover, whatever you want to call it, doesn't happen. It sometimes happens also, you know, with Super Bowl winners, but at least you got the Patriots in 2004. You have Denver in the late 90s. 97, 98, you know, they did it too. So it's not as rare. But for whatever reason, and I think one of the reasons, honestly, is because in the offseason, you're hounded not just by the memory of a crushing loss, and this one was crushing. I mean, you've got the game in the bag, You're up by 25 points late in the third quarter, and you blow. How do you blow that? I mean, yeah, Tom Brady played well, and you know, James White had a great game in the Patriots, right? But they needed some help, and they got a lot of it from the losing team. Atlanta gave them a lot of help in that game, and I think the Falcons are confounded by that, and sort of they're all off season. They're just sort of stuck on that. You can't get out of that cycle. You're stuck there, and you think, how did that happen? And then you're asked about it in training camp and preseason and the start of the season. You're constantly reminded that you blew this game. And I think it's tough to get past that. And I've talked to Matt Ryan. I've talked to the head coach, Dan O'Brien. And I know they've said, listen, the past is the past. That's easy to say. That's easy to say. But when guys come into that locker room every day and say, well, you know, what about what happened there? What about that play call? Does that remind you of when Julio Jones was open down the field and you took the sack and fumbled the ball? I mean, it just doesn't go away. And trust me, the backs of their minds, it doesn't go away. I've talked to players who've been on that losing end. And I remember Marty Herney, the GM. Now he's the GM again. He's the interim GM with the Carolina Panthers. But Marty Herney once saying, you know, I'd rather not go to the Super Bowl than lose it because you're just haunted by that memory.
Who's your team? I like Green Bay in the NFC. I think as long they look healthier this year, especially on the offensive side of the football, and I think having a healthy Jordy Nelson's big for Aaron Rodgers. Who do you like?
Yeah, I think Green Bay is probably the team. I'll take a dark horse. That's the Giants. The Giants had a good defense last year. Manning's all over the place. You don't never sure which Eli's showing up from week to week, but they've given him weapons now. Evan Ingram, the tight end, is not to be undersold. I think he's going to be invaluable to them. Brandon Marsh on the outside. Sterling Shepard avoided a serious injury this summer, so they've got weapons all over the place. But the question I've got is, you know, can they run the ball and can they protect him? I mean, can they protect him with that offensive line? They didn't do anything really substantial in the offseason to protect him with the offensive line. Defensively, they're pretty good. But keep in mind, that's a team that went into Green Bay and got, you know, trashed by the Packers. The Packers are good. But I think the other team obviously is Seattle. I mean, you have to wonder about Seattle because they're always there. I think they're at least as good, if not better, than they were last year. But losing the left tackle, the blindside protector for Russell Wilson, that is a big, big loss.
How do folks find your stuff, Clark? Tell them where to find you.
Oh, thanks for asking. You can find it at talkoffamenetwork.com, and it's three Hall of Fame voters. That's myself, Rick Goslin of the Dallas Morning News, and Ron Borges of the Boston Herald, and we talk about things current, past, and future. But a lot of it's with a Hall of Fame perspective because the three of us have been behind those closed doors for a long time, and when people retire, when players retire, people always will say, oh, you know, he's a Hall of Famer. No, he's not. They have opinions. But we can tell you exactly why or why not he is. But we also, as I said, each one of us, he mentioned 35 years, each one of us has covered the league at least 35 years. So we've seen everyone from John Unitas to Johnny Manziel. So we've got a perspective that you do. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for jumping on board with us today. Enjoy the game tonight.
You got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Clark. Clark Judge with us here on the Bill Riley Show. Good to have him on board talking NFL. Patriots and Chiefs open it up tonight.